Sort of staggering, isn't it, to see the whole list of Minnesota Twins that will not wear the Minnesota Twins jersey again? Are you adding another to the list, Dan?
There's another. Ty France apparently is going to be on the move. Still looking for details on that trade. But this is a good old-fashioned fire sale, Jason. They're blowing everybody out.
What I understand that other teams are looking for relief pitchers, but looking at this list, you've got how many relief pitchers on this list? Five that are gone? It's crazy. It is crazy. I mean, what's interesting, and we'll get some insight from Michael Rand from the Star Tribune, but I see just pretty much the bullpen is gone.
So we just had heard the trade of Louis Varland to Toronto. Ty France apparently is part of that deal.
So add Ty France to the list.
Yes.
And who's reporting that?
Several outlets. Ken Rosenthal was one of the first one I saw, but yeah, we're seeing several versions of it now.
I'm going to need, on the graphic that I've been posting online, I'm going to need a smaller font to fit all the names on the list. I don't know. It is one of those things where as a fan, you say like, all right, I do want, I want the team to perform. And these players have not performed. But is it the players or is it the approach? Is it the coaching? Is it the motivation? Is it like, what is it?
Or is it some combination of all of those things?
Yeah, and at which point you maybe say, you got to make a move. And you say like, well, this isn't going to work. This isn't going to work.
I feel for the Twins clubhouse guy because there's a whole lot of sewing that's going to have to happen here in the next 24 hours.
Dan and I were just talking about how it's sort of a bummer that you don't have a game tonight. Now, looking at this list, it would be very difficult for the Twins to field a team.
Yep.
But wouldn't you like to watch tonight? Like as they, I know you're a ball guy. You want to see a quality game? I would love to see the train wreck.
Well,
let's see the team try to figure it out. Who do we got? We have St. Paul, so we can bring some people
over. That sounds appealing, but we just watched a train wreck yesterday.
Yeah, but
that wasn't so appealing.
Well, that's because we thought there was hope.
I don't know how many people were thinking there was hope yesterday.
Maybe a little hope.
I would think if there was a game tonight, it would be even a worse train wreck.
Is there a comparable fire sale in baseball history? Certainly not in Twins history.
Well, that's just it. I mean, in baseball history, I would say absolutely there's probably been something like this, but it's rare, and I don't ever recall something like this in Twins history.
I'm counting 10 players.
Yeah.
It's been a busy day. It has been a busy day for the Twins. All right, we'll continue to update you because even though the trade deadline hit, pencils down as one of my friends on X, posted. The pencils are down, but these things can still emerge and the story can still come out and all of that. So we'll keep watching that. But why don't we update you on the D Rush Hour News headlines? Let's do the lead.
The headlines you might have missed without missing a beat. This is your fast pass through the biggest and most impactful stories of the day. Welcome to the D Rush Hour headlines, starting with the lead.
And we'll get back to Twins talk in just a minute, but I want to start with an update from the city of St. Paul, where the National Guard was called in to help with the cyber attack. Yeah, the National Guard. You're like, what? Huh? I know the National Guard gets called in when you got flooding or you've got civil unrest or other stuff like that. But a cyber attack, my reaction was one of surprise. So we reached out to Lieutenant Colonel Brian Morgan, who is the Director of Cyber Coordination with the Minnesota National Guard. He's on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker hotline. And Colonel, my reaction to this is like, huh?
Yeah. You're not alone. Yeah, we're discovering a lot of people had the same impression.
Right. Yeah, we think of the National Guard as, you know, responding to flooding or responding to other emergencies in Minnesota.
The Guard has been, for as long as anybody can remember here, responsible for all the things you mentioned, you know, fire, flood, domestic disturbance, search and rescue, COVID pandemic support. They don't really think of us in terms of cyber emergencies, though, but here we are, and we have the people and the training and the partnerships to get the job done.
We're talking with Army Lieutenant Colonel Brian Morgan, the Director of Cyber Coordination for the Minnesota National Guard. How did you and how did the rest of your team, how did you guys get into this where you had this sort of really specialized expertise that you need for what is a very complicated attack that's going on against St. Paul?
Sure. So the Army and National Guard being part of the larger Army, there's a special school that they send people to down at what used to be Fort Gordon. Now it's Fort Eisenhower down in Georgia. And that school is really a school for training cyber experts. You know, your average cyber soldier or cyber officer or warrant officer will go down there typically for, you know, 9 months. Some of the courses are even over a year long.
When you guys get deployed to something like this in St. Paul, like, I don't know, like, where do you go?
You know, we don't roll out how the public is used to us rolling out.
You're not in a Humvee. Right.
We leave those. Actually, we don't even have any of those in the cyber force here. So, the unique thing about the cyber forces that we have is they don't really even carry weapons. You know, we're not armed in that manner. In our world, our weapons are our minds and our skills and experience within these, you know, digital infrastructure and digital landscapes. So we'll actually roll and go to their location where they need us, which is typically close to where, you know, the technical equipment is and the different, easy access to those kind of things that we might be working with.
Yeah.
And then we'll partner with them and basically work with them to do whatever they need us to do to support.
I don't know, to me, this is so cool. My oldest son is a computer science major at NYU. And you think, you know, how cool is it for people who have that sort of information security, have, you know, maybe software engineering background, but that they could give back to the state in this way by being part of the Guard as well?
Yeah, so people who have information security background, computer science degrees, IT, networking kind of backgrounds and stuff like that, there's always room in the National Guard. Even if Minnesota's cyber forces are, you know, full, there might not be availability here at the moment. Partner states, Wisconsin, Illinois, the region, there are cyber forces almost everywhere now. And so the National Guard is a great avenue for, you know, future citizen soldiers to look at to contribute, give back to their community, use their skills they've acquired and then their passion for technology and you know, those kind of things. They can really use this as an instrument to feel like they're participating in something better than and bigger than themselves.
Pretty cool. It's really great. Well, I'm so glad you spent some time with us so we could learn a little bit more about it. I think it's fascinating and good luck to you guys. I hope we got to get St. Paul back online, right? We got to get it back under control.
Yeah, that's the goal. That's the goal. And we're making good progress. Yeah, we'll work together to get the critical services back online and call it mission complete.
Good stuff. Lieutenant Colonel Brian Morgan. Thanks, Colonel. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
And next up in the lead is the Minnesota Twins fire sale. It is staggering to see the list of Minnesota Twins players who are no longer Minnesota Twins players. Michael Rand is a Star Tribune columnist. He hosts a podcast called Daily Delivery, and he is with us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Mike, this is way beyond what I expected. Certainly 2 weeks ago, I would have thought, like, yeah, I bet the Twins aren't going to do much. But they played so terribly over the last couple of weeks. How do you assess this? The Carlos Correa move, obviously the biggest headline. But for me, the fact they've cleared out the bullpen is pretty amazing.
Yeah, both those things are shocking, right? Like, Correa, like, I'm not surprised that they are interested in getting out from underneath that contract. He doesn't really seem like he fits their budget or their timeline anymore. But, yeah, getting rid of, you know, all of those guys in the bullpen, especially, you know, basically, they got rid of their best five relief pitchers, including, you know, a lot of them that still were under team control. Joan Duran, Griffin Jacks, Louis Varland, Now Brock Stewart too, like all those guys could have been contributors to a bullpen next season. So that's the piece of it that makes me think this is a hard reset. This isn't like, hey, let's come back and get them next year. This is a 2-3-4 year plan that seems to have been sprung right now.
10 players. That is what? 40% of the major league ballpark?
20, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. 26 player roster these days. So yeah. That's a 25. Yeah. That's 40%. That's 40%.
We are seeing details now too. Michael, your guy, Bobby Nightingale, reporting that the Twins are putting in $33 million to cover Carlos Correa's remaining contract. He's owed about $104 million over the next 3.5 years.
What do you assess of that? That sounds like not a terrible deal for the Twins if they're trying to get rid of salary.
Yeah, I mean, especially since the reporting earlier was Houston was looking for them to take on half of that. They need to stay under the luxury tax this season. So if the Twins are taking on $33 million, that's a little less than a third. So basically, you know, you're paying probably $10 million a year over each of the next 3 years. Instead of 30 plus, it makes it so that they're not going to have much of a payroll next year, the way things are going. And maybe that's by design. Maybe that's more attractive to new ownership than, you know, a team that's got $145 million payroll that's under 500.
Michael Rand is with us from the Minnesota Star Tribune. So what, you know, if, I guess what surprises me most is the fact that the ownership situation is in flux.
Mm-hmm.
I am surprised. This is sort of an uncharacteristic Minnesota Twins move. You know, they so what, I guess, are you surprised that a front office that may be a lame duck front office essentially is taking this kind of a swing with a multi-year rebuild?
I am. Yeah, I don't know what this means for the future of Derek Falvey, if there's some sort of understanding in place that he's going to be the one, or this regime is going to be the one that is allowed to kind of try to build this up a second time. But that would be surprising to me, just because they're the ones that built this roster. They are the architects of what's been a pretty disappointing five-year run, right? Like 21 through 25, they made the postseason once. You could say they were hamstrung with spending last season. I think that's true, but they've had a lot of disappointing turns along the way. So yeah, if they're being allowed to kind of conduct the fire sale, that is a little bit surprising to me.
All right, we'll see if any more names pop up. I mean, at this point, what the heck? But
the deadline's over, right? I mean, we can't do anything else. It's 5 o'clock, right?
Right.
So 5 o'clock somewhere.
I don't know. How hard are they on these rules? Is this like you're taking the ACT and they shut down your, pencils down? How does this go?
I mean,
if there's some paperwork floating through the system somewhere on Joe Ryan, who knows?
I don't know.
Joe Ryan, the one, and how do you feel if you're Byron? You're like, now you come to work.
I know.
And you're like,
right? He's on the injured list. He's just like, what am I doing? Who's left?
Right.
Who's left? Like, what's the lineup going to be? What's the bullpen going to be when they come back to play tomorrow night? It's ridiculous. It's crazy.
I wish we had a game tonight. That's all I'm saying. I know. Dan is
me
like,
too.
Dan's Mr. Logical. Like, well, you know, it'd be difficult to get the, I'm like, I just want the drama. Like, give me the drama of the look on the remaining guys' faces, right?
Yeah, I do too. I don't know. This is shocking, though. This is like, I talked to Lavelle like 2 hours ago, and we were doing like a podcast, and like this is only like half the moves at that point, and he was already at a 10 for surprise levels. So he's got to be at like he's turned up to 11 now. Lavelle's turned up to 11.
Michael Rand will have more on this in the daily delivery podcast from the Star Tribune, and we appreciate it. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Jason. Take care.
All right, 5:22. We'll continue monitoring for new developments, but we'll do the D Rush Hour News headline. The lead is over. Now we'll do page two. I'm all a flutter because of all of this drama this afternoon. Page two coming your way next. D Rush Hour News headlines, and we start with the news on page two that Best Buy is building IKEA stores within their stores Of course, when Best Buy built the first IKEA store, it took about 12 hours, and the people who were building it just about killed each other. It's so hard to read the instructions. You got to put the nubbin in here and put the other thing in there. First time ever that IKEA has teamed up with another retailer. So they'll have kitchen and laundry products inside many showrooms at select Best Buy locations. Any in Minnesota? No. At least not yet. First 10 shops will launch in Florida, in Texas. And this will sort of be like the Ulta hubs that you see inside like, you see those inside Target stores, right? And so we'll see what it looks like. But if you, one of the nice things is that you'll be able to like ship your IKEA products there and pick them up at the Best Buy. So pretty interesting stuff as these 10 stores. We'll see if they end up coming here to Minnesota. Is your job at high risk of being vulnerable to AI?
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
Kind of an interesting study that was done by Microsoft, trying to figure out which jobs are the most or least likely to be overtaken by artificial intelligence. And good news, if you are a dredge operator or you work on a bridge as a lock tender, bad news, as I check the list of the most vulnerable, broadcast announcers and radio DJs. What? Do you think artificial intelligence can replace the lack of intelligence that I bring to the air every day? Good luck. Good luck, supercomputer. Just try me, okay? No chance. The number one most vulnerable, interpreters and translators. Number two, historians. Is that a big career chunk? Man, a lot of historians out of work. They got writers and authors. Some of this cracks me up. Ticket agents, travel clerks, safe jobs, dredge. What is a dredge operator? Do you know what a dredge is, Cook? Unclear. Water treatment plant operators? Sure. Foundry mold and core makers? Rail track laying and maintenance equipment operators? Floor sanders. Now think about that, Dan. Think of how many floor sanders.
I'm not sure I'd buy that, though, because if we have little robots that can vacuum your carpet and cut your grass, you can have one that sands your floors, can't you?
According to AI, a dredge operator is a specialized heavy equipment operator, but that's what AI wants you to think, so I don't know. Yeah, on YouTube, Benjamin saying, hi there, Darush Abbott here for Duracell. You know, I mean, that's exactly how it goes. Do you have in your yard the perfect Christmas tree?
I won't let all this commercialism ruin my Christmas. I'll take this little tree home and decorate it. And I'll show them it really will work in our play.
Pioneer Press, Molly Guthrie reporting that they're looking for a tree to put at Union Depot right in St. Paul. So they're looking for a 50 to 70 foot tree. It's got to be within Ramsey County, which I think is hilarious. Like, we're so provincial on the St. Paul side of the river that the tree you insist on, it better be one of our dang trees. It's got to be an evergreen tree. The tree must have overgrown its location or have other reasons for removal. So no bare spots, no missing branches. It's a donation, so they're not going to give you any money for it. But because it's an overgrown tree, they will remove it and grind its stump down for you, which I had a tree removed and a stump. That ain't cheap. So, like, if you really want to get rid of it, pretty good. So you can go to uniondepot.org to be a part of that. That is the D-Rush Hour News headlines. We are going to break. Another story that caught my attention today is a massage. And I love a massage. Do you want a massage from a robot masseuse? We'll talk about that. Something very innovative going on at a Lifetime in the Twin Cities. That's coming up next.